Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's broadcast of the Alchemy of Light show. Today, I have a very incredible guest who has brought to us not only the wealth of his experience from being formally trained as an MIT physicist, going on to Princeton and Cornell and many other jobs and related professional things that are well respected in the mainstream, he continued asking questions and honoring the dignity of his soul and pushing to find true answers, and brought to us two incredible books, one called The Synchronized Universe, New Science of the Paranormal, and the second one is Life Force, the Scientific Basis. And his work, if I were to bottom line it, basically is the place where science and spirituality heal. It's the place where they meet. It's the place where we can begin to look again at the answers that are ready to be questioned and answered again. And his name is Dr. Claude Swanson. Welcome, Claude.
Hi, Jamil. Great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. And today I am welcoming him in particular because he has put out a call to encourage all of us to join in a global peace prayer. It is well within our means as human beings to unite our hearts and minds and to focus our love and our prayers to avert any further escalation of war and to literally turn our world around. And he has put out a really important email, a really important communique, a really important call to action that is accessible to every single person who has 20 minutes to sit down and focus on the love in their heart. So you have so much incredible wealth, Claude. You have a tremendous amount to offer, and I would like to focus today on what is prayer, and in your integrated understanding, why does it work? And so perhaps we can just start. Would you introduce all the listeners who perhaps don't know you a little bit of your background, and then please tell us what is prayer?
Absolutely, Jamil. You know, I went through the conventional science education, but I think it was curiosity that really drove me to have the sense that there was something deeper out there. And when I learned all the science that there was to teach, I still felt incomplete. And then in the mid-80s, I began hearing about something called remote viewing, where you can send your mind off to a distant place or time or view events. That the evidence for this particular ability defies Western conventional science. We don't have a way to explain it. And I realized that it shows there's some force that our Western science is missing. It's a piece of our understanding in conventional science we don't have. And that set me on a search. Okay, well, if that really happens, what else really happens? And made a list of all the things that really go on in our universe, and a lot of them have to do with consciousness, and trying to accumulate the evidence for what's the proof for this, how does it behave, and then in the end, how can our science grow up? How can it modify our present science to begin to understand these powers of the mind? And that, as you say, gave rise to my books, The Synchronized Universe and Life Force. One of the things that I learned along the way, of course, most of, your listeners probably already know this, that the tremendous power of prayer and of intention and of focused meditation to change events and to bring about different events in the future and around the world, there have been experiments done over the past 20 years that prove this in various ways. Devices that can respond to intention, these random event generators that the Princeton Pear Lab ran, and other people, Global Consciousness Project, Dean Radin, Roger Nelson. There are many experiments now to show that these things really happen, and there have also been experiments done with synchronized meditation and synchronized prayer, which show that when many, many minds are focusing on the same thought, it has an amplified power. I probably should stop for a second and say that the bottom line in terms of the science part is there is a missing force that's not in our Western science. The Russians discovered it about 50 years ago. Of course, the Chinese have known about it for thousands of years. They call it qi. The Hindus call it prana. The Russians call it torsion. And at the present time, we know enough about this energy to say it really is a new force. Our consciousness, our mind, couples in with this force, and it can create or change the patterns of this force, which acts sort of like the underlying fabric of space-time is one way to think about it. So when, you know, Einstein used to say that gravity causes space to be curved, and then things move or accelerate or feel a force because of that curvature. Well, the mind really is causing, it also affects this curvature of space-time, affects the fabric of space, and therefore the mind can affect almost anything that we know about in our universe. So in prayer, we're really focusing our mind on a particular end, a particular event, or a particular outcome, or it may just be a message or a feeling of goodwill. And when we do this in an intense way, and it's most effective if we drop down into our heart and send it from the heart energy, from our love energy, that it can be very powerful in changing the events that actually unfold. So those are some of the principles that are in this little initiative that I put out on the peace prayer. And there's one more thing which has to do with the timing. There's the best time for this to happen. And I also talk about that in the prayer.
Well,
so
thank you.
That's a little synopsis.
That's great. So to summarize, the idea is that this link, the torsion, the chi, the energy, the subtle energies that are governing the universe are a malleable force of sorts, that in our power of our mind, we are affecting changes in them. And by choosing to focus our mind from our heart center, especially, we can affect changes by focusing our mind and joining that force that is actually part of the universal web. Is that what I understood?
Very good description, yep.
Okay, and when you talk about this field, the torsion and how it creates events, how could you share with us, can you do philosophy just briefly? We are living then in a world that we have then, you might presume, co-created already. Would that be correct?
Yes. You know, the Hindus call this world that we perceive Maya or illusion. It's what we call physical reality. But they understood, the ancient sages understood, that it's really illusory in a way. And I can take a minute here to try to explain how it's an illusion. And I talk about this in the first book, Synchronized Universe, because if you want to understand paranormal phenomena, ghosts and remote viewing and ESP, it's very important to understand that what we call the physical world and what we sense, and we even feel it, it's solid, it resists when you touch it, you know, it has a weight to it. And yet, at a deeper level, what I propose in that book is that what we call matter, at the very smallest scale, are little particles that are zipping around, little going through little complex orbits, and they only see each other when there's a synchronization, when one's velocity happens to line up with another's velocity just right. They see each other, they exchange a force, they exchange a photon, if you like, or a torsion particle, and they interact with each other. But that only happens with particles when their motions are synchronized with each other, and that's what we call our physical universe. We feel a force from those particles. But there can be many, many other particles, or just particles in a different orbit at the same moment. So they're not lined up just right. They don't see the other particles. They don't feel a force from them. but they can be lined up with other particles in a whole different pattern, a whole different frequency. So you end up with many parallel universes, many parallel systems, and what makes our universe is the synchronization of motion. And even our mind and our consciousness plays a role here. It also is synchronized with these particles. This is what we call the physical universe. But all these other parallel realities are also present at the same time. We don't perceive them as solid. It just produces the random noise that leads to the uncertainty principle in quantum mechanics. But it's a much richer idea about what matter is, and it's very close to the old Hindu idea that what we think of as real is really Maya, it's really illusion, and it's really part of the secret of how the mind has such power to alter reality. And I think this is one of the great secrets of enlightenment that the great masters have, that they understand that by focusing the mind on a particular reality, on a particular phase or synchronization of particles, that becomes what we perceive as our universe. But if you stay in an enlightened state where all other states are also possible, you can shift from one reality to another. We would call that miraculous change, but at a scientific level, we can also look at it as shifting from one parallel system to another. So that's part of the model that I proposed in the Synchronized Universe. It explains how it's possible for people to walk through walls. There are great masters in China that just for VIP visitors to entertain them. There's a man named Zhang Baozheng who used to do this, take a 100-pound sack of sugar, he'd teleport it right through the wall. You could stand there and watch while we'd go through the wall. There are many examples to show that matter can be semi-permeable or allow other things to pass through it in certain states. So it's just one example of the kind of miracles that happen when the mind is properly in the proper state for it, and it tells us that the physical reality that we're so used to and take for granted can really be affected in a very profound way by our mental intention and our mental state.
Thank you very much. And I think that that is so important, because when we talk about praying for peace, in a way, at this current consciousness level in the masses, it's talking about, it seems like an illusion itself, because it's something that we haven't known for many a millennia as a human family. So it's almost like we are reaching into our deep, deep recording or remembering who we were before this chapter of war, and needing to pull up what it is to actually know that we are one family, and that this illusion of separation itself is just that. I think that's really important, because sometimes I feel like when you know the prayer, okay, people go to religion or people, you know, it's like, no, prayer, the power of your mind, you know, the power of your divine being, the divine essence of who you are. I'm very interested in the science is so key in healing that part of us that has become, you know, fact infatuated, and at the same time there's still the self-esteem or something that needs to be kind of infused in there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. I think in our culture, our education discourages us from this. It tries to talk us out of it, and but we have evidence now from many scientific studies to show that prayer has the power to heal people. It has the power to affect things. Larry Doss, he has written books. There are several other books and studies that I recite in my books, scientific papers, that show that when people pray, miracles can happen. People can be healed of diseases where they thought it was hopeless. And so prayer has been shown to have power. And I think the important thing, people always say, well, you know, what does science say? What's the evidence? Well, there is a lot of evidence. And one reason I wrote my two books, and one reason they're so big, is because I tried to pull together as much scientific evidence as I possibly could to show that these things are real. And I think we're at a time where our weapons are so powerful, and there's so many weapons in the world, and there's so much tension that we need to step back from conflict. That war does not solve anything. It just brings more misery. And we need to shift to a better way to live. And I think that prayer and meditation and forgiveness and love, toward those who we feel have wronged us or we feel harbor ill feelings against us, if we can connect with their hearts and let them know that we love them at the heart level as spirits. Daniel Brinkley, used to say and still loves to say, we are magnificent spirit beings trying to have a physical experience. And, you may read the news and you may think, well, those people are my enemy by what their physical bodies are doing, but try to connect with their higher self. Try to connect with that spirit part of them, that heart part, and send love to that, let them know that we are all in this together. We're all spiritual beings trying to have an experience here on the planet together. And I think one of the big lessons that we're trying to learn is how to get along together, how to forgive each other and build a better world.
Would you give us some examples of the prayer successes, a few quotes from the book that or some of the more fascinating stories that you came upon?
Oh, boy. Well, I better get my references here. I think I quote some of Larry Dawsey's studies and some of his summaries in one part of the book. Of course, the Global Consciousness Project, which is an offshoot of the Princeton Pear Lab research, has done a number of studies to show that when people meditate together in a synchronized way around the world, and this can be a few hundred people or a few thousand people, when they are synchronized, when they're all praying together, that it affects little devices called random event generators, which the Pear Lab found basically respond to consciousness. They should give random results. They're like little coin-tossing machines, little electronic versions of a coin tosser that make random ones and zeros. But when people pray together, these little devices around the world start to act as though they're coupled together. They act in a very unusual way, and they tell us that our space-time, the quantum effects around the planet, are behaving differently now because people are praying together. There are lots of experiments done which show that, I know Dean Radin has done some of these with groups in other countries to show that prayer can work over thousands of miles. You can even project it to happen at a certain time in the past or in the future. So there have been experiments where a group will pray that a certain effect will occur 2 weeks later. And the experimenters find that it does, and vice versa. So prayer has been shown in experiments to work over great distances and to be able to be tuned to certain times, so it doesn't even care about the time. However, the simultaneous prayer does seem to be the most powerful. If people can't pray at the same time, I suggest that at least they pray when they can and set their intention that the good effects of the prayer align and mesh with the other people, so they all add together and strengthen the overall effect of it.
Thank you. And from there, will you please go ahead and finish with the importance of the timing that you mentioned as well in the communique about a particular time that is the best for praying, that the intuitive channels are most open, and it's called the side real time, and it's somehow connected to
real.
The stars.
This was discovered 10 or 12 years ago by a statistician named Dr. James Spottiswood. He was doing a study to try to figure out what conditions lead to the best ESP reception. People doing remote viewing, people doing psychic or ESP transmission experiments. He wanted to know what leads to the most successful ability to receive the message. And he looked at everything he could think of, the weather, the time of day, you name it, he looked at it. And what he found was that there was one effect that was big and much more important. The other ones were relatively unimportant. The most important thing in terms of ESP reception is what stars are overhead at the time the person is receiving the message. And it turns out this is what sidereal time, which is an astronomer's term, it basically means what stars are overhead. And it's the constellation Virgo is overhead at the sidereal time of 13.5 hours. Now, that's a different clock time every day and depends on where in the world you are. But when you are receiving an EST message, you're about four times more accurate at receiving it at that particular time. So one of the ideas in the peace prayer is if you want to target a particular area of the world that we're concerned about, and right now the Middle East is what is concerning me. We're seeing Syria with tremendous problems. We're seeing Iran, and Israel is talking about bombing the Iraq reactors in Iran, and Iran's talking about, well, we'll fight you first, and the rhetoric is escalating, and the tensions are escalating, and things have been happening, and then we have the U.S. backing Israel, and we have China and Russia appearing to back Iran, and that's not a good situation, because it's like a powder keg, and if the match goes off, it's liable not to stop with that first, you know, a little match is liable to explode into a worldwide conflict if we're not careful. So it seems to me that the peace prayer can be targeted so that it'll have the strongest effect in the Middle East by doing it at the right time every day. So that's part of the idea behind the peace prayer, is that we all pray together around the world at the same instant, but we pick the instant when it's most effective in the Middle East region. And so on my website, the synchronizeduniverse.com, my website, and you can find that if you just Google my name, the website shows up, because synchronized is hard to spell. I'm sorry. So yeah. Just Google my name, Claude Swanson, the website pops up. And then when the website pops up, in the upper left and upper right-hand corners are links to the peace prayer. And it explains what I just said about how it works. It also has a chart to tell you when to pray if you want to participate so that you can be synchronized with everyone else around the world. But that's the basic idea, so that we can be most effective at attempting to send love, to send forgiveness, and send peace to that particular part of the world. And just, hopefully we can dial down some of the tensions there.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I appreciated receiving this email. And, you know, in my opinion, the war has already started. I mean, the U.S. has sent its oldest boat, nuclear-powered boat, to the Gulf. It's on its way, the USS Enterprise. And, you know, the lines have been drawn. And this isn't new. You know, in a way, the consciousness and Alchemy of Light is a celebration and exploration of consciousness. The consciousness of humanity has become so used to this that it seems that it's just another war. I mean, Libya was just flattened. We've forgotten that already. I mean, Israel continues the genocide of the Palestinians every day, and we just blow that off. It's like we haven't stopped war. I think the only myth about war, about the Holocaust, is that it ever ended. I mean, we've just become so entrenched in this consciousness that I think we really just are expecting more. And this is why when I saw your email, I was like, thank you, Claude, because we really can turn this boat around. We really don't have to sit here and watch our planet be destroyed. We really have the power to turn this boat around, and we can do it right now in the quiet of our heart and in the quiet of our living room. And would you please share about in this, this email can be found on my website at alchemyoflight.org. It's the top post right now. You can, you know, copy it, have a ball with it as well. And all of his contact information is also in it. Would you please share with us from you or your perspective of what some of the environmental changes that we are going through as well, because in correlation to the Hopi prophecies and, you know, the great masters who know that this is what we're supposed to be doing now. So there's no reason to be afraid of this. This is just our date with fate, so to speak, you know, because if we can push through the fear, I think we can see our power. So will you talk about that, how we're coming to meet and at this exact time, what exactly where we're supposed to, and some of the signs, like in our environment and things, that indeed that it is time to come together.
Yeah, in my first book, Synchronized Universe, there's a chapter 12, I think, I talk about prophecy. The whole chapter is about prophecy. And that book was written, I don't know, about almost 9 or 10 years ago now, but it's still pretty accurate. I try to pull together a number of different prophecies from different sources that they seem to correlate. They seem to line up pretty well. And even then, I had realized that even when we have a prophecy, you know, the future is not rigid. We have a lot of power to change future events. But one of the first steps is to kind of know what's going on, know what we want to change, and understand our reasons why it's important to change it. The Hopis talk about this time, and there's a prophecy rock in Arizona that is engraved with the future timeline as they saw it when it was done. And there are various inventions, like the telephone, things like that, that the Hopi elders describe. They decode from some of the prophecy. But they also talk about the two world wars we've been through, and they depict Western man as a body with his head separated from his body, because we're all in our mental body. We're not really grounded. We're not really in touch with the spiritual side, and that's the danger, to not be listening to the spiritual advice. And they predict that if we don't make that contact, make that connection again, that we may be in for another global conflict. And so that's part of the timeline. Of course, we're not destined to that. You know, we have a chance to change it. So if you go back and look at some of the different events that have been in these prophecies, they see a global economic collapse, which sort of precedes this global conflict. There are various other things that are prophesied. And when you look at those, the environmental changes are part of it, of course. The Earth changes. We have, because there's been so much melting of Arctic ice, the temperature distribution in the Atlantic has been distorted, been shifted away from what it normally is, and that has put the Gulf Stream in danger of ceasing to flow. There are various circulations that go on in the Gulf Stream, and there have been several times when it's come almost stop in its flow, which would then bring about, you know, huge changes in the weather in Europe. We continue to see a lot of melting in Antarctica. We're losing a lot of species at a rate that's has only been this high in terms of the number of species lost, only been this high 65 million years ago when the dinosaurs went extinct, when the climate went through a big change then. So a lot of things are going on in our planet, and the news tends to downplay some of it. It's happening maybe slow compared to our normal human time, but yet still we can see changes. The weather's become more erratic, more extreme, more tornadoes every year. So there's plenty of messages to say Mother Earth is hurting. Mother Earth needs some help from us, and we need to ask for forgiveness as part of this process. So that is part of the prayer as well, that whole healing process, to be aware of what we're doing and to ask forgiveness and to send healing to the Earth Mother, too, because, you know, it's the only home we got, you know.
In the conversation of forgiveness and could you talk about that more? Talk about what love and forgiveness actually might look like and how we might put that in a prayer, you know, move that from the head to the heart. How is that?
Richard Bartlett, who developed matrix energetics, has a process when he's doing matrix energetic healing that's called a drop down. You drop from the head space down into the heart space. It's a way of kind of letting go of the mental control, letting go of that mental focus we tend to have on what we want. So once we know what the goal is, we want forgiveness, we want healing, we want love, and then once we know what that intention is, you just sort of release, you sort of drop down and relax. You can picture yourself as going down a sliding board, like a water slide or something, and you let just relax and in your consciousness let it release as you go down into the water, the nice, warm, relaxing water at the bottom of the water slide. And you just let go of that intention once you know what it is. And in the letting go process, you can go into a trance-like or meditative state, and that opens up the possibility of a shift. It opens up the possibility of other realities coming in, and you just sort of let that happen. And once you've done it, you don't revisit it. You don't go back over and over again and say the same thing. It's not like a mantra where you keep repeating it. Once you have gone down and released the energy, then you let it go. And I'm not sure how to say it any simpler than that. There's that the Hawaiian kahuna technique, the Ho'oponopono. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, which is another technique which involves forgiveness, as though you recognize that each of us personally is responsible for whatever problems there are in the world. And so we forgive. If whatever has happened that's gone into the conflicts, we take responsibility that some part of that is us. There's a lesson there for us, and so we ask for forgiveness for that. And so in the process of asking for forgiveness, we recognize our role. For some reason, these events are part of our life, part of our experience, so we ask for forgiveness as though we are the cause of it, and ask for release, and send love. So those are two possible approaches. I think the website talks about these a little bit more, and I'm going to put a little bit more on the prayer techniques into the website in the next couple of days. But I think that right now, I believe perhaps the most important thing is for people to participate and to send love and send wishes of healing in whatever way appeals to you, whatever way feels best to you, as long as people send their energy and express their feeling. I think that there's a good chance that we could turn this around.
Thank you. I like that. So dropping into the heart is letting go. Just letting go.
Yep.
That's really nice. That's really nice. And the idea of forgiveness, and can you remove clarify the difference between forgiveness and guilt? Because we're coming from this very, you know, laden religious consciousness that forgiveness is like associated with guilt, but forgiveness, if it's, can you separate that out for us?
Well, I guess the way I see it, each of us has incarnated, come into being in physical existence at this particular time for some reason. There's something we're here to learn, something we're working on, and so we've chosen this reality. We've chosen this place and this time and this earth and this country and these people. They're all part of our family in a way. They're here to teach us, and we're here to teach them. So it's a cooperative experience, and I know that most people don't think this way most of the time, but I think from a higher perspective, that's probably true. So we're connected. And so when something happens somewhere else in the world, we have a connection to that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we did something consciously or intentionally. It's more like we have chosen this reality to be in. And so that's sort of how I think about it. And so we are connected, and therefore if we ask for forgiveness for our part, whatever that is, we don't even know what that is. But I think that, you know, when you start trying to figure out the blame and parse the blame, well, you hit me first, well, you did this first, that doesn't usually get to a peaceful ending, you know. It just ends up being more arguments. All we know is that if each of us forgives everyone, you know, and we ask for forgiveness ourselves for whatever it might be, that to me leads to a better chance of dialing down the anger, dialing down the hatred and the fear. A lot of times, you know, in America we get news of the Middle East, for example. But it's filtered. We don't know what actually went on over there. We don't know how the people over there might see events. You know, if some predator drone drops a bomb on somebody and blows up somebody's house or kills somebody in a wedding party, we don't always know about that. We didn't have any intention for that to happen. And yet maybe it was our tax dollars that helped it to happen. We don't know if there's some covert operation that might have killed somebody's mother or somebody's uncle. We don't know all the things that go on. And so it's better just to ask for forgiveness, understanding that we don't know all the implications and all the ways other people might perceive events, you know. I think that, to me, that's just the best way to try to dial down the tensions.
So forgiveness is connected to acceptance and love, the intention of love, the intention of taking responsibility for my part.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, I quote on the peace prayer many of the sages from many different religions. This is not just Christian, it's not just Hindu, it's not just Jewish. There are many religions around the world, and the great masters of every one of those religions has taught a very similar lesson. I mean, in Jesus's words, he said, if someone strikes you on the left cheek, turn the right cheek. You know, you don't strike back, you turn the other cheek. You forgive, and you remain open. And I think that's because we don't really know all the implications. We know, however, that the best way to bring about peace is to start within ourselves. So I think that's part of the idea there.
Yes, starting with ourselves. Oh, my God. You mean we have to look in the mirror, Claude? Oh, God, that's scary.
Well, you know, I knew Juliet, you know, and that's partly how we have this connection, your mother, Juliet Nightingale, and you know, before she passed, and, you know, as she would say, and as anyone who's had near-death experiences will say, You know, when we pass over to the other side, we go through these life reviews. And in the life review, we experience our life again, but we don't experience it from our perspective. We experience it from the perspective of the people we have affected, you know. And so, so much of what we do in our life, we don't necessarily understand at the moment how it's perceived. But once we start to think about that, then we may begin acting differently because, you know, when we create love in others, when we give kindness and help and consideration to others, there's a tremendous payback for us in the afterlife in terms of our karmic growth and development, and it certainly helps the world overall when we behave in that way. But it's not the way that we might instinctively behave at first glance when it first happens. You know, if you're on the highway or something and someone makes a gesture to you, the first response is not always, oh, bless you too. It's hard to remember, but it really is a much better way to live, and it's a way to get us through some of the times that we're going through, I think.
Absolutely, yes. My mother, Juliet Nightingale, you are the one I realized who introduced her to BBS Radio.
Yep.
And so, in a way, you're lineage-wise, you would be my grandfather because I'm sitting now in her chair. Yes.
Well, this is how karma works, right?
It does. It's beautiful. And when I saw that again, I went, "Oh wow, this is the person." That's really that, but it's true. It's the circles and the connections and the soul doing its dance and learning its lessons and understanding that we've all made our choices. And I would also offer on that conversation of the near-death experience and the life review, which is consistent. You can read as many near-death experiences and you will find that very consistent. And it's also possible to review your life before you leave your body, right? I offer that to all because that is basically what happened when I was with her in her final days and went into this major year-long, literally, life review. And other people have reported similar things. You don't actually have to leave your body in a very traumatic medical emergency to have a life review. It's something you can actually become part of in choosing to figure out what's going on in your life and how to find your own peace inside of yourself. And though it is a very tedious and challenging process, I can't recommend it enough because, like you said, I mean, this is our life. This is our now for all of eternity. And we are creating our world for our children and the all life that we affect at this very moment. We are affecting the change that is going to be our future. And in this way, we're kind of circling back a bit to the beginning. The wave, the unified field, the torsion field, that field is constantly alive and circulating, and my understanding is that that is how we can change the particular agenda that might have been set. For example, in some prophecies for 2012, it is wrought with, you know, travail. We're supposed to be expecting the end of the world, the catastrophic, you know, boom, boom, all that. And so the World War III boats are in the water and they are playing out a particular agenda. But that doesn't have to be the agenda we all choose to support. And by choosing to support a loving agenda, by choosing to plant seeds of healing and forgiveness for all humankind to begin the new chapter into our coming age of true enlightenment and healing our head and body connection, we can make that change. Can you then talk about, is there science that says how that actually works? Like, is it just that we think and it goes into the field and then is that where science ends, or is there something a little more about that? Like, is there, you know, okay, do you know what I mean? Is there something in the science that once it goes into what? What does it go into on this field? Is it just this this field we don't know that any more about?
Well, you know, it depends on whose science, because conventional Western science is a little bit behind the times on this and has not really done its homework or focused very much on the experiments I talked about. But to me, the developing science, the science I discuss in my books, really talks about how when these parallel realities, these parallel possibilities that are out there, that we can actually shift from one to another through our mental intention and through the prayer and through the conscious state that we're in. And one of the models for how this might evolve, in other words, let me back up for a second. I mentioned Richard Bartlett and matrix energetics and how many healers are able to perform instantaneous healings of people by shifting between these parallel possibilities or these parallel realities. It's something that in the quantum physics, these parallel realities are contained in the wave function. The wave function of quantum physics actually, I think, should contain all of these possible realities. Now, right now, today, Western physics doesn't talk about it in those terms, but I think that's where it's going to go as consciousness is integrated into it. So we're going to find that these parallel realities are already in our physics, but we just didn't recognize it before. So the power of prayer and meditation and consciousness can help us to shift from one track that we're on to a different track. Dolores Tannen talks about this idea of a splitting of worlds. I know other people have also talked about this possibility that we're in this 2012 time period when there's some kind of global shift going on, and the question is, what is it exactly? Is it a catastrophic shift? Is it a benevolent shift? And I think what some people believe is that our consciousness may determine which of these parallel possibilities we end up on, and that we, a part of the planet, may be able to shift together into a more benevolent future without having to go through the traumas, while others who are clinging to the old beliefs and the old way of thinking may stay synchronized with another parallel possibility, which does have to go through the traumas. So that may be how things evolve here. Definitely we're at a crucial point when our future seems to be going through some kind of shift or split, and how it exactly ends up may be described by this this idea. Dolores Cannon, as you probably know, has regressed many, many people, some of whom have future lives, and talked to them about what happened during this time period. And that's one of the models that's come up. Now, that's about the best I can do in terms of knowing exactly what's going to happen. But, it's 5 years ago, I would have said, that's a crazy idea. But from what I know now, it's actually plausible.
That's interesting. So you're suggesting that these parallel universes or these parallel realities are existent already, and that we are becoming aware of them. And even if we aren't fully consciously aware of them, simply by addressing them, by focusing our heart mind into the reality that we would prefer, the love, forgiveness, peace reality, we would begin to then activate that conscious knowing. And even if we weren't fully cognizant of it, it would still become activated somehow by our field.
Yeah, that then will become our future. That we will pull, will activate and synchronize with that particular timeline. And therefore, we will find ourselves in the world that we have aligned ourselves with. And don't ask me too many details, but Dolores Cannon talks about in the past there have been certain situations like the Anasazi, how they disappeared in the Southwest. There have been certain examples that she believes may be cases where groups of people actually shifted timelines. It's a big subject, but in my next book, I'm going to talk more about that. I'm working on the next book on the science of the soul, which I think has something more to do with this whole idea of shifting parallel realities. But I think it's built in right now into our Western physics in terms of what they call the wave function. One of the cores of quantum physics is that there's an uncertainty principle that particles have a wavy aspect to them, and we don't know exactly where they are. They have a wave that describes what we know about them, and then when you look at them, you make a measurement, and the particle, oh, it's right there, and you can get a certain well-defined measurement, but that there are many other possibilities before you looked, and those other possibilities probably correspond to these parallel realities. It also comes out of the synchronized universe idea. So I think, you know, that's one of the shifts that our science is going through, is starting to learn more about these parallel possibilities and how they fit in with our science. But I think it's really important to understand how consciousness has such a powerful role to play in what happens, that the way our consciousness state and what we focus on has a tremendous role to play in which of these states we're synchronized with, and therefore which reality is the one that we would say, yes, this is what's happening. So we choose our realities to that degree.
Well, you know, we haven't got anything to lose from praying for peace.
Absolutely. Bottom line.
Let's go. What the heck, you know? Oh, bless your heart. Well, we are coming up to top of the hour. A very fast one, as usual. Would you please give us again your name and the contact information that people can find you?
Absolutely. The name is Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, Claude Swanson, S-W-A-N-S-O-N, just like the TV dinners. You put that name, Claude Swanson, into Google, my website pops up as first, second, or third. The website is SynchronizedUniverse.com. That's SynchronizedUniverse.com. If you go there, you'll find a link to the Peace Prayer. You'll find my contact information there. You'll find descriptions of the two books and other information there. So that's my suggestion, the easiest way to find me.
Thank you so much. And would you like to offer us a final note, and then we'll wrap it up?
I would just remind everyone that, you know, we are all these wonderfully powerful spiritual beings who are here together, having this experience together, and learning the lessons that we came here to learn. They may be different for different people, but for a great many of us, I think love and forgiveness, how to get along with each other, how to advance, and how to. So when we come back next time, we'll have a happier experience. And I just think that this whole process is very exciting. We're all blessed to be here at this powerful time. There are amazing spirits, amazing beings showing up to help us get through this process. And I think learning the power of consciousness, the power of prayer, the power of love, those are some of the lessons that I think maybe we're here to learn. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Claude, and thank you again for bringing Mom to BBS, and thank you for your tremendous work. I have so much respect and appreciation for the contribution that you are making, and thank you for joining us here on the Alchemy of Light broadcast. This is Jamil Graham, and we are signing off. Please do take care of yourselves. Take good care of each other. Check out Claude's Global Peace Prayer. Consider making a commitment to 20 minutes a day to focus on the world you want to see for our children. And bless you all.